Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. If you've been with us the last few weeks, you know we're talking about depression and despair and disappointment, discouragement. It's a big topic. There are many, many people in America today who are depressed. They're in despair. They're taking anti-anxiety and antidepressant drugs, and they don't look forward to the day. They can't look forward to their day because there's so much heaviness in their heart and anxiety and fear that has gripped them that they can't look forward to the day. And so if that is you today, if we're speaking to you, maybe you've been betrayed, maybe you've lost a loved one, maybe you have a sickness or illness that is causing you to have depression, but I want you to know God has an antidote for it. He has a solution for it. And if you will turn to Him, if you will cry out to Jesus, if you will speak His name and call upon His name, then God will relieve you of this situation. He will relieve you of this infirmity. And so that is the message today. We're going to be talking about mind control and spiritual warfare of the mind. And so we're taking up a continuation of this depression issue. And I want you to know, brother and sister, that God gives an answer in Proverbs 12:25. And the reason for depression, he says, is anxiety in the heart of man causes depression. But a good word makes it glad. And so we looked at that scripture a week or two ago. Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. And so if we can figure out how to get rid of anxiety, and God gives us a solution for that, Philippians 4:6, and when Paul told the Philippians, be anxious for nothing, but in all things, through prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your requests known unto the Lord. And so as you get anxious thoughts, as you get situations in your life that cause anxiety, maybe cause you to fear the future, maybe cause you to fear what is happening in your life, as you take it to the Lord with prayer and supplication, as you say, Lord, this is too big for me. I'm overwhelmed by this problem, or I'm afraid of the outcome of this problem or this situation. As you take it to the Lord, just turn it over to the Lord. Just ask the Lord to bless the situation. Lay it at the foot of the cross. Lay it on the shoulders of Jesus Christ. Let Him carry your burden. Let Him have your yoke of burden and anxiety. And as you do that, as you walk out the practical steps of that, it's just spend time in prayer each and every day. Spend time focusing on the sovereignty of God over your life and the enormity of God's will in your life and His desire to see His kingdom come to pass, His will come to pass in your life and in your community and in your family. As you speak blessings of the Lord over your family and over your life, then God will see that you are relieved of this. He will see it come to pass. I know it sounds simplistic, but when you turn to the Lord, when you turn to Him and not to drugs and not to antidepressant drugs or anti-anxiety drugs, when you turn to the Lord sees your heart and He will bless you accordingly. He will lift you up. And if you take on the name of Jesus, and the Bible tells us that we have the mind of Christ. Paul tells us in the last verse in 1 Corinthians 2, we have the mind of Christ. And so as you take on the mind of Christ, you take on thoughts that are pure and holy, and you start to reject and take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. You start to reject those thoughts that are carnal. You start to reject those thoughts that are causing your depression, that are causing self-rejection and disappointment, and you start to take on the thoughts that God wants to bless you. He wants to bless your future. He wants to bless your endeavors here on this earth. And as you take on those thoughts, then, brothers and sisters, slowly you will start to come out of that pit of darkness. You'll start to come out of that depression and despair, and God will relieve you of that place of darkness that you have been dwelling in. Well, Ephesians 6:11, Paul tells the Ephesians, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the schemes of the devil or the wiles of the devil. And so as you put on the whole armor of God, you put the helmet of salvation on your head, that is to protect your mind so that the devil can't bring thoughts into your mind that say that you are worthless, that you have no value, that you were created for no purpose at all, which is just the opposite of what God wants you to see. He wants you to see that you were created in His image, that you have a mighty call and a purpose and a destiny uniquely suited to you, that no one else can fulfill your destiny, no one else can fulfill your calling and your purpose here on this earth. And so as you put on the whole armor of God, then you will be able to withstand the schemes of the devil. Well, let me just tell you, brother and sister, if you don't know it yet, you're in a battle for your mind, for your eternal destiny. The devil wants to convince you that you are worthless. The devil wants you to end up with death and destruction in your life, even to the point of committing suicide. And we saw a couple of weeks ago Robin Williams, a man who had brought great comedy and joy to many people through his movies and stand-up comedy, that the devil got to him and eventually he killed himself. And so the devil's plan for you is death and destruction. He would like to see you wipe yourself out. He would like to see you come into agreement with him that you have no plan or value to your life. And I want you to know God says just the opposite. So as you put on the whole armor of God, then you will be able to withstand when the devil comes to you and he tells you a lie and he tries to get you to agree with him that your life is worthless. Well, verse 12 in Ephesians 6, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places." And so there's a battle going on, the kingdom of God on one side, the kingdom of the devil on the other. God has his angels, and he has Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, and the angels to do his bidding, the ministering spirits sent out to those who would inherit salvation. And then the devil has his cohorts and his imps and his demons to bring death and destruction and try to lie to us and convince us that our lives are worthless. And so we are in a battle. If you are a born-again believer, you are in the battle whether you want to be or not. As soon as you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're going to be in that battle. And the higher you go in the kingdom, the more intense the battle will be. I received a phone call just a couple of weeks ago from a prophetess lady in Georgia who calls me every once in a while and speaks over my life. And she said, "Jim, the warfare that you're going to experience as a result of your desire to go to Africa to preach, this warfare that you're going to experience is going to be greater than any warfare you've ever experienced before. God has taken to a higher level, and so you can expect greater warfare." And so that is the reason I ask you, brothers and sisters, to pray for me. That is the reason I invite you to be an intercessor for this ministry. The warfare is real, and as you move forward in the kingdom of God and you declare God's purpose over your life and you come into agreement with God's purpose over your life, you're going to see greater warfare. You're going to see the devil come against you in ways that you never imagined. Maybe your own family will turn against you. Maybe your wife will turn against you, your children. You're going to see warfare because Jesus said, "I didn't come to bring peace. I came to bring a sword." And so this sword is going to divide. It's going to divide families. It's going to divide husband and wife. And I'm not encouraging divorce or separation. That's not what I'm saying. It's just when you stand for Jesus Christ, when you stand for moving the kingdom of God forward, you're going to see separation from the kingdom of the devil. You're going to see separation. You're going to see people turn against you, even other people who claim to be Christians, even other people who claim to be doing the will of God. You're going to see them turn against you, and sometimes in ways that you never imagined. And so you need to prepare yourself for the battle. You need to put on the gospel armor, which is the Word of God, each and every day. You need to put on Jesus each and every day and prepare yourself for this battle that you're going into. Well, verse 13, again, Paul reiterates what he said there in verse 11. "Therefore, take up the full armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Well, this is certainly the evil day. Everywhere we look, there's evil. There are groups out there that are sworn to kill Christians, to crucify Christians. We see Islamic terrorist groups that are beheading children and crucifying people over there in the Middle East. And this is the intention to do this to Christians all over the world. They're not just after those Christians or that little piece of land. They want the Islamic caliphate, and they want the kingdom of the devil to reign supreme in every area of the world, in every country of the world, and they're coming to our doorstep. And so I invite you to start praying. Pray for Israel. Pray for our allies in the Middle East. Pray for this country, for our leaders to see the vision of what these terrorists have in mind for us here in the United States. And as you pray, pray for your family, pray for yourself, that you'll never be fooled or tricked by the schemes of the devil, that you'll be able to see clearly, that you'll have a spirit of discernment and be able to see what God's will is for your life, each and every step and in each and every circumstance in your life. Well, Ephesians 4:23, Paul says, "Be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and in holiness." So we're talking about mind renewal. We're talking about taking on the mind of Christ. And many people in our culture have been in drugs, either legal or illegal, psychotropic drugs or psychedelic drugs, cocaine, marijuana, whatever it is, that are mind-destroying drugs. And so Paul is saying here, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Well, that's a corollary verse to Romans 12:2, where Paul says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And don't be conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And how do you renew your mind? You have to spend time in God's Word each and every day. You have to spend time in prayer, talking to God each and every day. You have to spend time in the fellowship, being encouraged and exhorted by other brothers and sisters in the faith who are going through the same kinds of battles that you are. You have to be encouraged by listening to radio broadcasts and TV broadcasts that lift up the name of Jesus and strengthen and encourage the body of Christ. And so as you do those things, as you make those kingdom pursuits a daily habit in your life, your mind will be renewed. You'll be able to memorize Scripture. You'll be able to focus and concentrate on the Word of God. You'll be able to discipline your life and discipline your mind to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And as you do that, then your mind will be renewed, and you'll start to see the plan that God has for your life. You'll start to understand God's perfect will for your life. Well, I'm going to close here with a scripture from Mark 5, where Jesus encountered the man in the tombs. His mind was completely gone. He was living out in the tombs. He had come to the point of death and destruction. It says in verse 5 of Mark 5, "Always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones." Well, we see that in America and today, that the young people, many of them, are cutting themselves and bleeding for the demons, letting blood for the demons that have taken control of their minds. And so that was the picture of this man living out there in the tombs. He was sitting there crying out, cutting himself, and when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshipped him. And he cried out with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me." And so we see here that Jesus had made no introduction of himself. He didn't have to put a badge on himself that says, "I'm the Son of God and the Son of Man." This man in the tombs immediately and innately knew that Jesus Christ was the Holy One of Israel. He was the Son of God. He knew that he was righteous and holy. And when you are doing the will of God, when you are walking in God's kingdom purposes, the devil will manifest in front of you. The devil will manifest when you come into places in a room or in a meeting or wherever. You'll see the devil manifest because they know who you are. They know through the Spirit, the communication through the Spirit, who you are. And just as this man knew who Jesus was, he cried out to him, "Do not torment me," because he knew Jesus had the authority and the power to cast him out of this man and to send him wherever he wanted him to go. And so Jesus spoke to him in verse 8, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." And then he asked him, "What is your name?" And he said, "My name is Legion, for we are many." Well, he had 2,000 demons. He was a man that was in extreme anguish and torment. He was a man that the devil had complete control over. He had over 2,000 demons. And you say, well, how does that happen? It's because the demons take no space. And once one of them invites itself in, or you invite itself in, you give it authority to come into your life, then that one starts inviting in other demons. And you may make an attempt to cast them out, but then they come back sevenfold. It tells us in Matthew 12:43, they come back sevenfold. And as you do that several times, seven times seven times seven, eventually you've got over 2,000 demons in the man. And this man was obviously in great distress and demon-possessed. Well, Jesus cast the demons out into the swine. In verse 12, all the demons begged him, saying, "Send us to the swine, that we may enter them." And at once Jesus gave them permission. Then the unclean spirit went out and entered the swine, and there were about 2,000 of the swine, and the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea and drowned in the sea. So those who fed the swine, that is the farmers, fled, and they told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it is that had happened. And in verse 15, here's the key as we're studying the control of the mind and warfare of the mind. Verse 15 is the key scripture here. They came to Jesus, and they saw the one who had been demon-possessed and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And so there was this man who had 2,000 demons. He was sitting out in the tombs crying out day and night and cutting himself with stones. His mind was completely shot. He was of no value to society. He was of no value to his family. He was of no value to his community. And there he was, cast out and sitting out there in the place of death in the tombs. And Jesus restored his mind totally, completely. He was sitting in his right mind. He was sitting in his right mind, totally restored by the power of Jesus Christ. Well, that same power exists today. It wasn't just for this man. It wasn't just for that moment in time. It is for today. The power of Jesus Christ and his ability to restore your mind, his ability to restore your life, his ability to bring you into the kingdom, that you can know for certain that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior for all eternity. That is for you today, brother and sister. That is for this moment right now, for this hour. And I just pray that as you hear this story, you don't just think it's some historical event. Yes, it happened. Yes, it was a historical event. But that same power, that resurrection power that resurrected Jesus Christ from the grave, that very same power to raise Jesus Christ is available to you today. That very same power that lifted this man up out of the tombs and a life of death and destruction and cutting himself and of no value to society, that very same power is available to you today. All you have to do is ask the Lord for it. All you have to do is say, "Jesus, I want to come to you. I want you to be my Lord and Savior. I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I repent of my sins. I turn from my wicked ways. And Lord, would you be faithful and true to come into my heart, to take up residency in my holy temple? Would you be faithful and true to do that?" And I can assure you, brother and sister, God is faithful and true. Jesus Christ is faithful and true. Every promise that he makes in his word, he will fulfill. And when he says he will come to you, when you call on him, he will do that. And I pray that you do that today. You just invite Jesus into your life. that you get down on your knees and repent of your sins and ask Jesus to come in and do a cleansing work in your heart and a cleansing work and a renewing work in your mind that you can know the mind of Christ. Well, that is God's will for your life. That is God's will for you today, that you be blessed and not cursed, that you not be destroyed, that you have life abundantly. And as you call on the Lord Jesus, the Bible tells us that all that call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, if you make a decision in that regard, if you call on the Lord and make a decision in that regard, I pray that you let me know. Let me know at pureprairie@hotmail.com. Let me know that you've made that decision, and I'll get you some literature and some information that will speed your Christian walk, take you down that road that you can know for certain that you're saved and that God's will for you shall be established in your life. Well, I thank you for listening today. I thank you for your contributions and for standing with this ministry. And I thank you for the open doors. We ask you to come back each and every Sunday and listen to this broadcast. Have a great week. Tune in again next week.